me. Ooh-wee. It's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.
Radio Havana, Cuba. Havana, Cuba. Well, yes.
Buenos días, tengan todos ustedes, mis queridos radioyentes.
Hola, amigos.
Presentamos este programa.
Pero con sentimiento de la calle.
In authentic Latin beat.
For all of my people, Negroes and Latinos. And even the gringos.
Pero si quieren saber un poco más de qué se trata,
quédense unos minutos con nosotros.
¿Cómo estamos, mi gente? How you doing, everybody over there? You're listening live to Skid Row Studios. What's up, man?
Oh, es muy bueno.
Esto es muy bueno.
Es muy, muy bueno.
Esto es muy bueno. I'm Nestor Rodriguez. Thursday night. You ain't got nothing to do with your life. You tuned into the Nestorious Public Radio Show, because that's how it goes. You're listening to the N, the P, and the motherfucking R. Okay? That's right. This is my man, and that's my man Rich. My man Rich Corbin.
What's up,
everybody? My right-hand man. What's up, brother?
Oh, nothing much, you know.
Hey, yo.
Just chilling.
Hey, yo, right off the top, 1-800-893-9562. If you paid your cell phone bill and you want to chat, we're live. So, Halloween, man. Tomorrow's Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, always a fun time.
Always a fun time.
Always a good time. You going to dress up?
No.
Oh, why not?
I'm not into Halloween. That's not my thing.
Now, what do you like? What's your favorite?
My favorite is the 4th of July. That's way gone, and I got to wait a
while. Because it's loud.
Yeah, because it's loud, it's colorful. Loud. There's a lot of barbecue. You know, I like to barbecue.
Food and noise.
Food
right
and noise.
Right up your alley.
Yeah, food and noise. Well, actually, in L.A., you don't really get the noise aspect of 4th of July. New York is fucking loud. Yeah. Halloween, I don't get it, man. You know, that's not my thing, you know? When I was a kid, maybe, but it's not really my thing, you know?
I like Halloween because it kind of kicks off the fall. I love the fall. It's nice that, you know.
Yeah, but we're in L.A. There's no such thing as fall.
Well, you know, I grew up in Colorado.
Got it.
You know, it's a different.
Got it.
Different aspect.
Got it. Hey, yo, before we go any further. What I want to do is I want to say, you know, I want to pay tribute to my man Mick Betancourt and use his stilo for a minute. I want you to do one thing. Go to iTunes. Go to the podcast section. Go to Nestorious Public Radio. Go under reviews. Leave a review. You ain't got nothing better to do. Leave a good review. Take a screenshot of it. Email it to me. At NestoriousPublicRadio.com. There's a link for my website there. There's a link for my email address. Go to NestoriousPublicRadio.com. There's an email link. Email me.
Why would anybody do that?
Email me the fucking screenshot. And I'll send you a sticker.
That's all you gotta do to
That's
get
all
a sticker.
I got a sticker.
That's all you gotta do
That's
to get
it.
A sticker.
I mean, listen, if I had some shirts, underwears, G-strings, whatever, I'd give them, but we don't got shirts yet.
Damn, I thought I'd have to pull down my pants or something to get a sticker.
Yo, but I'm just saying, you know, pass the word, I'll get you a sticker, you put it on your, you know, wherever you want and shit. You know what I mean? So, before we move any further, I just...
But see, you know what? If you get a sticker, if you do that, and he sends you a sticker, maybe he'll send you two, but what you gotta do,
I'll send you a few.
Is what you got to do, though, is you got to slap that shit someplace where everybody can see it. Take a picture of that shit
and then,
send that to him. Post it on his on the NPR Facebook page.
Facebook.com, Nestorious Public Radio. But if you do that, then you'll be on the list to get a T-shirt for sure, because I'm getting the T-shirts made.
Oh, there you go.
If you do that, then boom, back with a bat. You know what I'm saying?
And you got an extra T-shirt to layer yourself in these cold winter months.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Know what I mean?
Lace that shit up. Big up style. Anyway, y'all, big up style. I want to give a big up to my man, Steve Mayett, my little homie. He's not little anymore, but Steve, what's up, puppy? I know Steve from like fucking 80 years ago when I was a teenager, he was like a newborn. This motherfucker is huge now. And he puts these pit masters to shame. This fucking guy, for all you guys out there in Notorious Public Radioville, go to Steve May. He's a friend of mine on my Facebook page. Go to Steve Mayett's page and go into photos. He's got an album on Instagram. This motherfucker posts more fucking photos of pork, like pork shoulders, fucking bacon. What do you call that?
Pork belly.
Pork belly. Thank you. Pork belly.
Everybody's. That's just a new thing. That's extra thick cut bacon.
Right.
That's all it is.
Right. Pork belly. Hey, can I fuck you with some pork belly on my dick? Hey, everything's pork belly now. Anyways. I slap some pork belly juice on your ass?
I was out eating. And this woman said, you know, I said, oh, they got pork belly. Oh, pork belly, that's gross. I'm like, do you like bacon? Oh, I love bacon.
So?
Then get the pork belly, bitch.
but it's, you know, it's like everything, nothing's in moderation, right? Everyone likes something, then every fucking merchant will carry it, right? Mm-hmm. Even the cigarette stand where I buy cigars, they got pork belly. They got pork belly gum, pork belly bubble gum.
Get the fuck out of here.
Everywhere I go, there's pork belly.
Pork belly gum.
Big up to Stevie, you motherfucker. You burning fucking charcoal bits, frying up the chicken and frying up the pork and the crackling. You don't stop, man. Big up. Gotta give him a big up. That's my man right there. In fact, big up to the whole Mayette clan. Big up to the whole Mayette clan, wherever the fuck you is.
Big up to those motherfuckers that I never met before. I don't even care. I love you anyway. Big up.
Big up. Steve is in Austin, Texas, and Maria and Tommy Mayette are in Florida, Orlando, probably Orlando still.
Oh.
I'm thinking maybe it's Spanish Orlando, like Spanish Harlem, but it's...
they're hanging out at Walt Disney World.
Puerto Ricans migrated from the Bronx to Orlando. It's like fucking Puerto Ricanville up the ass over there now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's where the Puerto Ricans when they got old.
In Florida, yeah. Anyway, and the next thing I want to do before we move on further and further and further along is I want to give a big up to... I went to go see a play a couple of weeks ago, and it's called Scary Musical... The Musical, all right? Now, if you're in Los Angeles, right, I strongly urge you to go. I mean, do something different. It's fucking totally worth it. It's a musical comedy, and it's impeccably done. I mean, I was sitting there. You know, I'm not a big fan of musicals, but I'm sitting there watching this thing, and I'm like, this fucking thing could easily have been on Broadway. It was that good.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was awesome.
Wow. In NoHo.
In fucking NoHo.
Right in your own backyard.
Right in my own backyard. At the NoHo, at the NoHo Arts Center. Scary Musical, The Musical. You can Google it. Scary Musical, The Musical. It's on Magnolia, just east of Lancashire Boulevard. And they have the play shows Thursday through Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sunday at 3 p.m. And it's through November 9th. The address is 11136 Magnolia Boulevard. Or Google the shit. Tickets are $35, but I'm pretty sure you can find some sort of deals online if you search for them.
Yeah.
I think their NoHo Arts Center is NOHOACE.com. www.NOHOACE. NoHOACE.com. Check it out. Scary Musical, The Musicals. Guarantee you will come back and you'll be putting a review on Nestorius Public Radio and be saying Uncle Nesta don't be playing. All right?
Yeah, just show up late and get the rush tickets. You know, it's cheaper.
Or just volunteer to fucking clean up after the show.
There it is.
Pick up to Scary Musical, The Musical. Anyway, we're gonna start off the top of our show here by I wanted to share this little bit of news that I found out today. It's hilarious, dude.
I read this when you handed me this breakdown. The British man?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So check this out. A British man was arrested and fined $125. Just $125.
That's worth it. That's totally worth the price of, you know.
Right. The price of admission.
Price of notoriety right there.
Fined $125 for frightening mourners in a cemetery by pretending to be a ghost. Prosecutors say Anthony Stollard, 24, was throwing himself backward, waving his arms and going, "Ooh." I don't get the throwing himself backward, waving his arm. What does that mean? Like leaning back?
Maybe he was running backwards or...
I don't get that. Because, I mean, if you were going to scare somebody in a cemetery, you would. I would dress up in a sheet looking like Ebenezer. You know, like the ghost of Christmas past.
Right.
That would scare the shit out of somebody. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I don't know.
That's awesome.
125 fucking bucks. 125.
Now, this was in Britain?
Yeah. Great Britain. All right. So, you know, I was gonna play this little clip about the World Beard and Mustache Competition, being that it is Halloween, and beards are a form of a mask. So, you know, let me play it. Fuck it. I'll play the little, it's just a little blurb. Let me see if it comes out right.
Taking away from the other competitions. The competition.
There we go.
300 men. Passion. Focus. Testosterone. Grooming. Yes, 18 categories of facial hair were paraded in front of the judges at the World Beard and Mustache Championship, located where other than Portland, Oregon. The contestants were diverse, sort of, representing 9 foreign countries, the Virgin Islands, and 29 U.S. states. At this competition, judges were looking for the contestants whose facial hair best enhanced their overall appearance, style, and personality. Mustache categories include natural, English, dolly, and imperial, which means small and bushy with tips arching up. The full beard category, whose contestants included a man dressed as Gandalf, a monk, farmers, and this fellow with Cheetos in his beards, included a natural beard category, full beard, mustached, and Garibaldi category, which means the length of the beard does not exceed 20 centimeters and a mustache is integrated. The overall winner of the day was Madison Rowley, he of the flowers in his beard. However, the oddest thing about the competition may be the controversy surrounding its very existence. A boycott was called by the other World Beard and Mustache Competition, saying that this Portland organization had no authority to award these titles, and it's taking away from the other competitions. The competition remains hairy.
Remains hairy.
So you guys can't see the beards and the fucking mustaches. This is ridiculous.
Californians are just...
Hold on, that was a fuck up here on the audio side of my
advertisement.
On that advertisement of my website. Yeah, so the beard. First of all, you wear a beard occasionally, right?
Yeah, I'm rocking a little goatee right now.
Yeah, but a goatee doesn't really constitute itself as a beard.
It's actually called a circle beard.
Okay,
it's a goatee is just the chin here.
I used to rock one of those a long time ago because when I was younger. And I had to shave right here underneath my chin. If you're watching the video, it would get really irritated. Mm-hmm. So I decided I'm going to let that grow, you know, the goatee or whatever the fuck you want to call it, circle, whatever, and that. But beards are so fucking uncomfortable, man. If I don't shave after like 3 days, I feel like I got bed bugs on my face. I don't understand people who got, like, let their hair grow past 3 days. I've done it up to like a week.
Yeah.
And it'll drive me nuts, right?
Yeah.
And then I see these fucking skinny white dudes, because you never see a black dude with a beard, because they know better, right? You see these skinny, twerpy white dudes walking down the street with a big fucking fuzzy beard. You know the motherfucker smells. I mean, it's disgusting, man.
Well, these days in L.A., they're usually wearing skinny pants, you know, because, you know, they're the hipsters.
Yeah,
you know, they started with the mustaches, yeah, and they've I just can't wait till it's over.
Yeah, but yeah, and think about the beards, like back in like the 1700s, 1600s. Man, people didn't have like luxuries of taking a bath or a shower every night.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the fucking funk that would come out of somebody's? Let me tell you something as an aside. I have a friend of mine, right, who I'm not going to say. A friend of mine who's he's a contractor. I have him over to give me a bid today.
Yeah.
Dude smelled like fucking
onion soup.
Dude, he smelled like a whole tribe of homeless ass. And I was like, what the fuck, dude? And he's talking to me and I have to hold my breath without being obvious about
right?
And I'm like, I'm keeping my distance about 3 to 4 feet away from him and I'm still smelling it. It's just like, dude, I was this close from telling him like, yo, my man.
Yeah.
Like, you walking around in public, like with that odifery coming out
you're
of your
going
fucking
to people's
outer,
houses.
Dude.
And fucking up their smells.
Obviously not in people's houses. Obviously you're outside. He's an outside contractor. Oh, okay. Anyway, I just don't understand how people could be fucking.
You got to take care of that shit. I grew a beard a couple of years ago. Went like, 4 or 5 months. Just let it grow out all crazy bushy. But you got to take care of that because your skin gets all funky.
Crazy
gets
bushy. All,
you get like beard dandruff.
Crazy bushy.
It was pretty crazy, but crazy. You got to take care of your skin. You got to, nowadays
you know
they have all these salves.
You know how I take care of my skin?
What?
I shave it nice and fucking tight.
Yeah.
And then I put a little astringent on the skin to tighten up the pores after I fucking do it. And then I put a little fucking shave balm right after that. Hey, listen, if you want to know how to do a proper shave, I think, I can't tell you what the episode number is, but there's the history of barbing. Okay, the history of barbering.
That's a good episode.
It's Public Radio. Go to skidrowstudios.com or iTunes and scroll up or down and look for that episode, and we can school you on the history of barbering.
Take care of your shit.
Take care of your shit. Anyway, so being that it's Halloween, I put it this way. I was reading this article the other day. I was looking at something on American Horror Story, which you don't watch the show.
Yeah.
But
I told you I would, and I'm going to... What season?
Okay.
Season 3, right?
You watch... No, I would watch season 2.
Season 2 is the one to watch.
But see, you're not going to get to season 2. Season 2 is a little difficult to watch.
Yeah.
Only because there's so much shit going on in there, man. And you, knowing you, you'd be like, fuck this. I can't watch it. the season 3 is about witches.
Uh-huh.
So you know, I don't know. You didn't like season 1. You thought it was stupid.
It just doesn't do anything for me, I guess. I don't know. It's
so
like just some creepy little kid in the corner going, man, come and play with, like that didn't freak me out.
So watch season 2. But you have to commit to the whole thing. You have to commit. 12 episodes.
Okay.
You can't be like in episode 4, go, I don't want to do this no more. You got to fucking
There's
commit.
There's a payoff, I hope.
12 episodes, motherfucker. That's what you got to do. Watch 12 episodes, all
and
right?
Then will I get a t-shirt?
You get a sticker.
A sticker?
You'll get a sticker. Anyway, I was reading something on it because I have four of episodes 4. This is the called Freak Show.
Yeah.
The current season.
Yeah, you're going to wait.
Show.
You're going to wait
so
until...
I'm waiting until I have about 5 or 6 of them.
Oh, now.
Oh, no. I already have 4 of them now, but I can't wait because my significant other, the Mrs., is not anywhere near town, so I can't watch him by myself.
She'll get upset.
No, because then I have to rewatch him with her. Anyway, the whole thing.
Does she get scared?
I don't know that she gets scared. I mean, they're fucking, dude.
Come on, how bad can it be? It's unlike,
it's
on free TV. They
anyway. It's FX. FX is doing, FX is not doing fucking tiddlywink shit, But anyway, I started reading this article about, the article is called How Clowns Became Terrifying. And basically, Dave, it says, the thing starts off, Dave, Chicago children's entertainer Pogo reportedly said over dinner with 2 cops who'd been tailing him, quote, "Clowns get away with murder," unquote. Pogo would know because outside of his clown identity, he was John Wayne Gacy, the notorious 1970s serial killer, and maybe one of the worst things to happen to clowns since 1892. Since the 1892 opera Pagliacci. Anyway, so the article goes into this fucking clown antagonist in the new season of American Horror Story Freak Show, and his name is Twisty. So
that's a great clown name, actually.
Dude,
I like that. Twisty the clown.
Yo,
did you
saw the picture of that motherfucker?
Yeah, he's fucking scary.
Oh,
that's not
shit.
That's
not a children's clown.
No, that is that's not a clown. That's like a scary motherfucker.
All right. Well, this is the shit about American Horror Story. It kind of plays on, it borderlines on the fucking, like, the reality and the fucking crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, so, and this is based on one of the last surviving freak shows in America in Jupiter, Florida.
Uh-huh.
That's what this freak show is based on.
Right.
Well, it's based in, and maybe it existed, that particular freak show. Anyway, clowns, it's fair to say, are not currently having the best of time. Best time of it, PR-wise. The fourth season of American Horror Story, which debuted Wednesday, features Twisty the Clown as the primary antagonist, a terrifying perversion of the profession with a mask of grinning, oversized teeth, and distorted black lips. In the opening episode, I haven't seen the episode. I'm just going to read this because I read it and already, you know, that's the opening scene, but I don't want to fuck it up for anybody. But in the opening episode, Twisty bounds up to a young couple in broad daylight, knocks them both out with juggling clubs, stabs the young man over and over again, kidnaps the woman and locks her up with a young boy in a decrepit old school bus, and forces them both to watch him craft balloon animals. See, now that is, you know, that's creepy, right? Because you do that shit, then the motherfucker's going to take a break to blow up clown balloons. You know what I mean?
The finish is great. It's brilliant.
Right, it's brilliant. That's
and now, saying. Clown balloons. So innocuous and benign as clown balloons.
Anyway.
Clown balloons.
So this article goes, I'm not going to get crazy about the article. It's kind of, it's a great article. It's worth reading. It's called, I'm going to read it again, How Clowns Became Terrifying. And it's on theatlantic.com, How Clowns Became Terrifying. It basically just goes on to say that, you know, there was a time when clowns were, you know, popular. You know, kids liked clowns. Everything was okay with clowns.
Growing up, Ringling Brothers, Barnum Bailey Circus.
Right.
I mean,
and it wasn't until John Wayne Gacy was arrested and then, you know, they found out that he murdered 33 young men and he used to be a clown at children's parties, right? And Pogo the Clown was his name. It wasn't until that clowns started having a fucked up identity, right? And then Stephen King came out with It, and, you know, Poltergeist had the clown that, you know, pulled the fucking kid from underneath the bed, right? That was how it,
anyway. That movie scared the shit out of me. Yeah. That movie will do something for
right
me.
because it aired aired on the side of the borderline of reality. Like, could that happen? You know?
But it wasn't so fantastical. It was talking about, you know, the paranormal.
Right.
Which is encroaching on just normal. A normal family in wherever, Sunnyvale or wherever the hell they were. So there's some reality to that,
right,
I guess.
That's what I'm saying.
You know?
Well, paranormal, paranormality and paranormalcy and paranormal, you know, intrigue, whether you believe in it or not, you can't say that when you're alone in your house that you...
we're fucking conditioned for that. Right, we're conditioned to just, you know, you could be like any little weird, creepy thing and it automatically triggers that, you know, whatever, you know, input that you got growing up as a little kid and this and that. I mean, there are some people, you know, I think the ghost hunters got to get creeped out, you know, when they go into these places.
That's what I'm saying. When you're by yourself, whether you believe in that shit or not, you know.
There's a part of your brain that just triggers the flight and fight. You know, like, oh, shit, that's scary. Because you don't know what's bumping around in the dark, man.
I got a joke, right? I got a joke that goes, is it me? Is it me? Or is it every time I jerk off, I get bionic hearing? You'd be like.
Is somebody outside my door?
Do you hear that? Yeah. Anyway. You have to see me live to hear that, to check out that joke. I have a caller. We have a caller. Hi, caller.
Hey.
Hey, what's up, Ma?
Well, I was wondering if in that movie, in the Steven Spielberg movie in Poltergeist, isn't that a clown that comes in?
Yeah.
That comes alive?
No, that was It. I think that's Stephen King's movie, The It.
Yeah.
No. Something in Poltergeist.
In Poltergeist, it was the child's toy. And in the beginning, it's just this little cute clown with the arms. And I think, you know, I think my sister had one of those that were very similar growing up. So it was kind of freaky. But anyway, the clown was just, you know, in the beginning, smiley clown. Yeah. And then it comes alive and drags him under the bed.
Right. In Poltergeist, a movie in which evil forces terrorize a household, in part by bringing young Robbie's clown doll to life and having it pull him under his bed and attempt to throttle him to death. Yeah, so his doll becomes alive. I mean, I don't know if that's what you were referring to.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was referring to, because you were talking about John Wayne Gacy, and I remember, like, growing up with a little clown doll that was my grandfather's.
Yeah! You burnt that fucking doll, didn't you?
I went to turn the light switch on, and I would, like, if the room was dark and I went in to turn the light switch on, I would hit the doll's face, and it would scare me.
Oh, yeah, but fuck that.
And realizing that everybody probably had a clown doll that scared the shit
out of them. Not me. I'm Puerto Rican. We didn't have clowns in our house. No way.
Well, I think American Horror Story is picking up on that.
Well, American Horror Story picks up on a lot of stuff, yeah. It's a scary show. Anyway, we're actually going to be talking about John Wayne Gacy. That's the whole, this whole article was a prelude to that, and that's what made me think about John Wayne Gacy. So I investigated him. So, happy Halloween. Thank you for calling.
All right, happy Halloween.
Thanks for tuning in live, as always. You know, you're our number one fan with your mic in my hand.
Number one fan.
With your mic in her hand.
Big up the scary clowns.
Big up, Ma. All right, thank you. So this thing basically goes into that whole thing. It's a good article. But anyway, this article made me, like, you know how when you're online at home and you start, you know, reading something and then one thing leads to another and then you start fucking, then you wind up on eBay? Like, you started doing research.
the ADD of the web.
You started doing research on fucking, like, sesame seeds and some shit that you, like, find, like, sock puppets, and then the sock puppets go into, like, how clowns used to be, you know, popular, yeah. And now how they're not popular anymore because of John Wayne Gacy. Then you go into John Wayne Gacy, and then you read and watch a movie about him, a biography. Then you're on eBay. Yeah, it's buying John Wayne Gacy paintings.
It's called divergent browsing.
Jesus Christ. Anyway, so John Wayne Gacy, if you didn't know, he used to dress up as a clown, and Pogo the Clown was what he called it. Now, interestingly enough, John Wayne Gacy was referred to as the clown murderer, but that's not necessarily true, because when he started murdering, he wasn't a clown. He was a clown for children's parties way before that whole era. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
So when he started murdering, which did I say 33 young men?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So basically,
five in the river and 27 or 28 and under the house.
27 under the house. So basically, let me see if I find this guy's name. Robert Peist or Peist. P-I-E-S-T, may he rest in peace. 15-year-old boy. Mm. All right? Mind you, what I'm about to tell you, at this point, Gacy had already murdered about 32. If the numbers of the bodies that were found are accurate, it is thought that there were way more than those 33 people that were murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Way more.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have DNA evidence. Anyway, what they did was they found 27 bodies under his house. But this is what happened. Remember I told you. So this kid, Robert Peist, disappeared. And the last time that anybody saw him was Gacy, right?
Mm-hmm.
His parents knew that he was going to an interview for a construction company. Mm-hmm. Now, Gacy had a construction company called PDM Contractors, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think PDM is an acronym for fucking decorating and whatever the hell. So I'll get the name of that later if it matters. PDM Contracting. So Robert Peist, don't know his name, goes on this interview. He disappears. So what happens is, let me read this from this site. So basically, disappeared mysteriously just outside the doors of the pharmacy where he worked. His mother, who had come to pick him up after his shift, was waiting outside for him when he vanished. He had told her that he would be back in just a minute because he was going to talk to a contractor who had offered him a job, but he never returned. She began to get worried, but as more time passed, her worry turned to terror. She searched the pharmacy and looked outside, but Robert was nowhere to be seen. Finally, 3 hours after his disappearance, the Des Plaines police were notified. Lieutenant Joseph Kozenskak led the investigation. So this is what happens. So he basically, it leads to John Wayne Gacy because he owns the contracting company. Mm-hmm. Lieutenant Kozenskak, I'm going to call him Lieutenant K because that fucking name is out of control, right? I can't even fucking spell it, let alone Kozenskak, I think. Kozenskak. So basically, it leads to John Wayne Gacy. He goes to the guy's house. He says, would you mind coming to the precinct? We have some questions for you. Have you seen this guy? He says, no, I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him or whatever. Now this is what happens. Something about Gacy did not sit right with Kozenskak, and he decided to do a background check on him. He was stunned when he discovered that Gacy had earlier done time for sodomy with a teenage boy. He quickly obtained a search warrant for Gacy's house, and on December 13th, 1978, a legion of police officers entered the house on Summerdale Avenue. Gacy was not at home at the time. So this is what happened. Items found during the search would lead to the discovery of Gacy's dark side. Some of them items included a box containing two driver's licenses and several rings, including one that was engraved with Maine West High School class of 1975 and the initials JAS. A box containing marijuana and pills like amyl nitrate. A stained section of rug, a number of books with homosexual and child pornography themes, a pair of handcuffs, police badges, sexual devices, a hypodermic needle, a small brown bottle, clothing that was too small for Gacy, nylon rope, and other items. The police also confiscating three automobiles that belonged to Gacy, including a 1978 Chevrolet truck with a snowplow attached and a name PDM Contractors on the side. On the side, and a van with PDM Contractors also painted on the side, and a 1979 Oldsmobile Delta 88. In the trunk of the car were pieces of hair that were later matched to Robert Peast. So I think what happened here is, since they did that investigation, what they did was they found in Gacy's pocket, remember I told you, they found a claim ticket for photos that were being processed at the pharmacy that his coworker had given him, Robert, the kid that went missing. Mm-hmm. So once they found that out, the cops knew that there was something fishy. In addition to all this crazy shit, I wasn't aware of all that stuff. But they found, and then they had a subpoena. I believe they had a subpoena, but they've been following him. They've been following him for a while, and something about marijuana.
They were following him before. Yeah. They raided his house.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I believe they were following him, and they had a subpoena because he did a, like he said, did a background search on him. But they did a subpoena to do a serious search. Let me see. Gacy was again called to headquarters and was told about the evidence that had been removed from his house. Enraged, he immediately contacted his attorney, who also told him not to sign the Miranda waiver that was presented to him by detectives. The police had nothing to arrest him on and eventually had to release him after more questioning about the Peace disappearance. They placed him under a 24-hour surveillance, but this was the best they could do. Okay, so this is what happens. So, by the way...
Well, if you find other people's property, some pot and pills, back in the 70s, that was a normal thing.
Right, and like you could... But you child pornography and shit, now, they fucking arrest you just on those charges. Mm-hmm. Back then...
Oh, dude, they take you straight to jail.
Yeah. Anyway, so basically they were harassing him, and eventually they charged him with marijuana possession. That's what happened. Then they got a subpoena. They went into his house, and that's when they found that Robert's thing in him, in there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Lieutenant Kaczynski later recalls that going into his house, he remembered the first time he went into his house, the first time when he discovered all this crazy shit that was there, he smelt a really foul scent emanating from the floorboards of what appeared to him to smell like decomposing body. He remembers saying that. But when they went back, when they had the subpoena, I don't know what led them to, but they started ripping the floorboards out. And eventually, as they were digging the floorboard, the crawl space under the house, they found a human bone let's say a thigh bone.
Mm-hmm.
When that happened, the fucking alarms went off. They got all the, you know, the tag team crew went in and they
finally, yeah, no, we got a bone.
And they, started taking the fucking floorboards out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in a period of a week, they excavated 27 fucking bodies of young men.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So anyway, he was arrested, obviously, after this. And let me see. There's a website. There's a website here that I'm reading this shit from. It's prairieghosts.com. PRAIRIE ghosts, GHOSTS.com. Prairieghosts.com. Anyway, Weird and Haunted Chicago is the title there. Actually, if you put prairieghosts.com/Gacy.html, it'll bring you to this page. But it's unbelievable. So they never found Robert, by the way. They didn't find Robert's body.
Hmm.
They found Robert's body like after they found all those 27 bodies under mm-hmm. the house.
Mm-hmm.
Gacy finally confessed that he had murdered more kids,
right,
and they were found by a river.
Mm-hmm.
I was just in Chicago. I wish I would have fucking I would have gone to this guy's just to the neighborhood. Could you imagine, dude? Like the same thing happened with Dahmer, Jeffrey Dahmer, yeah. The house where they found all those fucking body parts, mm-hmm. right? The apartment building.
They dozed it though, right?
No, well they bulldozed it, yeah. But I'm saying you're living next to a fucking a serial killer, right? For let's say 2 years, mm-hmm. right? This guy owned the house. That's a different story. If you live in an apartment building, mm-hmm. people complained about the foul smell that would come from his apartment, right? Finally, when they find all that shit, they find decomposed male torsos, heads that are fucking frozen.
But it wasn't the foul smell that tipped him off with the Dahmer.
With,
right?
Dahmer? No. That's another story.
That's amazing.
No, like, you want to know what tipped him off on Dahmer? Dahmer.
Oh, it was the one of them got away and started running down the street. Right.
The second time, Dahmer.
Yeah.
Dahmer used to, and then we get back to Gacy because this dude is Gacy is a serious character study.
You know what I mean?
Serious character study. But Dahmer, basically, what happened with Dahmer is he would go to gay clubs and mm-hmm. he would entice young men to give him $20. For them to pose for him nude, you know, for selfies or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not selfies, for his own, you know, pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
They would go into his house and he'd get them drunk and high and they'd pass out. And
then he'd go to work.
He'd go to work. Many times, like towards the end of his shit, he'd drill holes in the skulls and pour acid in it and shit like that. One time, a young Filipino boy came to and he fucking ran out of the house
mm-hmm.
and he was going berserk. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
You fucking just got acid poured into mm-hmm. your fucking numbskull.
Yeah.
He's out in the fucking street. Two hookers find him. They call the cops. Dahmer comes out and Dahmer says, oh, no, he's just drunk. He's, you know, he's my lover, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
And the cops let him go.
Yeah.
They let him go back into fucking Dahmer's house
mm-hmm.
and Dahmer finishes him off. So, in the same vein as that situation,
mm-hmm.
the last time he did that, he had this guy who he was getting him high and you know getting him all dizzy and shit. And I think he got him to put on handcuffs, but he needed to go to the bathroom. I think what happened was he said, you know, I got to go to the bathroom. And instead of going to the bathroom, he ran out the fucking door,
mm-hmm.
called the cops. The cops came, and this is where it gets crazy. So the cops go in there. And mind you, after all this, they find a fucking human torso in the fucking bathtub, right? The curtain. The curtain is shut.
I was just giving him a bath, officer. He was a little dirty.
Dude.
He got a little blood on him. He cut himself shaving.
Dude, do you know those big plastic fucking 500-gallon jugs that you can buy at a Costco for... Mm-hmm. You know,
for dissolving human body parts.
Yeah. He had two of those motherfuckers with acid filled and fucking used to put the body parts in there and just fucking, that's how he got rid of the body parts.
Yeah.
So he didn't have to bury anything. Unlike Gacy, mm-hmm. Gacy was burying fucking dudes under his house. So
Walter White style.
Basically, they still haven't found anything, the cops. They're in there. They're fucking searching. And what tips them off, this motherfucker had stacks of Polaroids of naked fucking guys after he murdered them.
Oh, wow.
With their fucking severed heads and all sorts of shit. The cops saw the fucking... The Polaroids, they started looking at him. There were, I swear to God, hundreds of them right by his nightstand. Wow. That's what,
Jeffrey, read me a bedtime story.
Let me show you this picture book I made.
They fucking found, dude, they found, I think he had two heads in the freezer.
Oh, yeah.
He had, like, limbs in the refrigerator. Anyway, it was crazy. Anyway, what I'm saying is, the point I'm saying is, so after that, they evacuated the building, right? And the lot still exists. I can't remember where. I think it's Milwaukee. Where
it's a children's park now.
Where Dahmer? No, where Dahmer's at, it's a gay club now. They have a young gay man, a young boy gay club.
It's a dentist's office.
Actually, that's so fucked up. But anyway, could you imagine, that they plowed that down, right? Mm-hmm. It's an apartment complex.
Yeah.
And to this day, they haven't built anything on that site.
Who'd want to?
But I mean, it's unbelievable. But this dude's house, Gacy's house, anyway, this was 79. He was arrested in 80. His murder trial began in February 6, 1980, Cook County Criminal Courts building in downtown Chicago. I think they deliberated in like 2 hours and they found him guilty. Okay. Now here's my thing. These are people that there's no question, right? Without a doubt. That this motherfucker murdered 33 motherfuckers.
Yeah.
For sure, 27.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Dahmer, dude, got caught. Evidence. Mm-hmm. Right? What I don't understand about the justice system in America is, why do we have trials for situations like this? Why? Why? I mean, someone like this, seriously, no, all jokes aside.
Yeah, I know.
Then you put him in jail, right? You got to feed the motherfucker, right? You got to give him a cot, some cocks, and some fucking coffee, right? And then till he gets his trial, and then he gets convicted, and then he gets sentenced to he gets a death sentence.
Yeah.
Of which cannot happen because... As you know, the death penalty is so controversial that
it's fucked up and just completely just asinine is that these guys admitted to it. It's not like they didn't try to.
Dude, forget admitting. Admission.
Because if you admit to it, why take 14 years? Just okay. Oh, you did it? Yes, I did it. Okay. Why bother? Just kill him.
This dude knew exactly where what was buried. He didn't remember specific names, but he told the cops.
Yeah.
He told Chicago police, by the river, blah, 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 blah. And they
There's
went
no
there.
No question.
Boom.
You know, maybe if somebody doesn't, you know, whatever. I mean, the whole system is so, you know, what are you going to do? You know, it's there to protect those who, it's there to protect everybody, apparently. You know, even the guilty.
No.
It's a waste of time,
no.
You know what? Not to get too shitty or
I have a
this
problem.
Whole country is about wasting money and jerking off with
Let me play this little clip about discovery of John Wayne Gacy's DNA could actually reopen some cold cases. So let me just play this shit here.
Infamous serial killers more than three decades after John Wayne Gacy was convicted of killing 33 people, investigators say... They may now be able to identify even more victims. A sheriff's deputy discovered a vial of his blood, and then it was entered into the FBI's DNA database. So how likely is it now that police will be able to reopen some of the cold cases linked to Gacy, and could it apply to some other cold cases? Let's bring in...
Some white noise.
Let's bring, no, the fucking sight went off. Let's bring in some white bitches. Naked. and have them strip for us here on Skid Row Studio. Oh, yeah, baby. Hold on. It's coming right up. It's coming back up. I'm going to fast forward to the part where there's some anal lubrication going on.
Take care of your business.
Take care of your anus.
With new AstroGlide.
Sales reports and digital receipts that give you instant feedback.
This site is fucked up. You hit skip ad. You hit skip ad and the fucking thing keeps going. And I had the thing saved and now it's going to loop. Anyway, you know what? Go fuck yourself. We're not going to play that clip. Go eat my balls. So basically what that said was that at the time, when Gacy was found, there was no DNA science. So they couldn't find, they didn't have his DNA in the federal DNA system.
Right.
And that article doesn't specifically say why or how they found a vial of his blood. Maybe Chicago police had saved it, or maybe the correctional facility that killed him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they saved it just for record keeping in case somebody wanted to.
Well, you know, I'm sure he had to go in for blood tests and stuff while he was in there and,
right.
and all that. And they,
right.
you know, had it tucked away and nobody right. bothered to go to the jail where he was kept for 14 years going, right. Did he ever get the flu? Did you ever have to, you know, right. run some tests on
right.
him? Maybe he's...
Well, there was a forensics doctor there, a forensic scientist that I wanted to play the clip. This guy's amazing. I forget his name right now. He was saying that the database for the federal government, they didn't have his DNA, so the, and they didn't have the DNA science, so they couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah, because every state is different,
right.
About you know who has to submit what and
right.
you know and
right.
timelines and all that stuff,
right.
And especially back then when it was just starting out, they didn't know to save everything.
Right, exactly.
You got to save everything now.
He was saying that's exactly what he was saying. He was saying that. I want to find that guy's name. He was saying that every state has their own laws regarding or their own standards
mm-hmm.
as to how and you know when they send or what they report to the federal government
right.
To the federal government's DNA database.
Well, that's interesting. So it could be a lot more because like you know I watched that video and like they were saying, you know those. 33 people that, you know, confirmed that they have, those might be the bulk of them. But, you know, as he was first starting off, he probably killed a few more people to like practice, like they were saying, which knife do I like to use? What kind of candy do I lure these fuckers
Who
in
knows?
With? You know?
But this is what gets me. So then, you know, this year was marked as 20 years after he was executed.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so I just want to talk for a minute about his... Karen Conti, who was his, her and her husband, were, his death penalty representatives, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Karen Conti and Greg Adamski, right? Basically they approached him when his, appeal, fell through to help him,
yeah.
you know, appeal again. Or fight, you know, for his death penalty to be.
You really have to be against the death penalty to want to, you know, want to represent him. I mean,
yeah. So I'm going to read some of this article because
I want to read a bit too.
Go ahead, please read.
But go ahead, start off.
Well, I just want to say it just says to this day, people ask me how could you represent Gacy? Said attorney Karen Conti, 52, who served as Gacy's final death row attorney along with her late husband Greg Adamski. Then in the next breath, they'll say, tell me about it. The couple approached the Sisyphean task of representing Gacy on a little more than a whim and a principle in 1993. They heard on the radio Gacy's final appeal was exhausted and he was set for execution. Illinois had experienced only one execution since the U.S. Supreme Court ban was lifted in 77. And the idea seemed barbaric, to two moral opponents on of capital punishment. They approached Gacy about representing him in last-ditch efforts to overturn his death sentence. A master manipulator, Gacy agreed to have the couple work on saving his life. He agrees to have them for fucking free, no less, right? Right? Agreed to have the couple work on saving his life, but only if they handled his civil matters, too. What kind of civil matters can a man known for dressing up as a clown and killing boys and young men have, you ask? Gacy had many, chief among them, his interest in capitalizing financially on his art to leave money for his family when state officials suggested any money earned from his art should be used to pay for his incarceration. Gacy said if he was too expensive, they could evict him. He had a great say what you want to say.
Oh, I wanted to bring out the sense of humor.
Oh yeah,
you know, and but he had another joke, which is, you know, I mean, it's not tasteful, I guess, but I mean, it's hilarious to me. You know, like the joke. There's another joke in which Adamski's sister died, and Gacy sent a card with a sensitive and tender message on the front.
Adamski is Conti's husband, late husband.
Yeah. One of the two that are representing him. And this is, he sends a nice card with a sweet and tender message on the front. And inside was a picture of a naked woman in a casket with her legs spread wide. The caption, "We wanted to remember her in death as she was in life."
Right.
I mean,
the guy
was sick and twisted, but had a sense of humor about it too.
He had a sense of humor, and you know, they basically were trying to get him off on insanity.
Yeah, if John Wayne Gacy isn't insane, Conti asks, then right. Who is?
Right, and the thing is, the dude. It's hard to tell if a guy like that is insane or not, right? Because on one hand, you got to watch the documentary. There's mm-hmm. a documentary on the Biography Channel, mm-hmm. I believe. If you Google it on Yahoo Videos or YouTube, the guy, he's in jail, and with a straight face, he says, you know, I'm okay with myself when I die. You know, I'm okay with Christ because, you know, I didn't do it. You know, there were three other people that worked in my construction company that were suspects. Mm-hmm. I mean, with a straight face. Mm-hmm. Motherfucker gets caught. He admits it. And he's in jail. And for however many... This is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. A motherfucker like that should be bludgeoned by fucking Twisty the Clown with some fucking twist... with some juggling irons. That's it. End of story.
Yeah.
End of story. Anyway, I got a couple of funny things to read. A North Carolina man who had spent 9 months on the run from police was caught when he won a police-sponsored donut-eating contest. Bradley Hardison, 24, gobbled down 8 donuts in 2 minutes at an event in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, defeating several local cops. But Officer Max Robeson saw a report on the win in a local paper the next day. He recognized Hardison as a suspect in 2 2013 break-ins and arrested him at his mom's house. "I did congratulate him after the arrest," said Robinson. "He can eat a lot of donuts." weren't you telling me something that they're putting now on trick-or-treat kids this year that parents are afraid?
They're putting pot edibles.
I read that people are licking, there's an Ebola scare now. People are licking apples and people are afraid that you're going to fucking...
That'd be great. I mean,
people think Ebola is an airborne virus. It's not. You have to share... Yeah,
but you have to have Ebola to give Ebola.
Right.
You know, unless you have Ebola, and it doesn't seem like a lot of people have Ebola right now, except for the nurses that are taking care for the two people that have come into this country with fucking Ebola. You know, I like your Robin Williams quote. That's really cool.
Oh, the Robin Williams quote is the best.
It's really cool. It's,
we're going to end on that.
Yeah, it's really cool, and it's applicable to this show.
Let me just do one more real quick, and then we'll end on that one. Hold on, because this is an 87-year-old nudist is running for sheriff in Washington State. Dave Allinger, a former teacher, no surprise there, decided to enter the race after learning that Island County's incumbent sheriff was running unopposed. Olinger said he wanted voters to have a choice, and because he recently got new glasses and hearing aids, he thought it was the right time to give it a try. His wife, Kay, said her husband was a committed nudist, but would find somewhere to pin a sheriff's badge if he won. It's not as if he walks around everywhere naked, she said. Unbelievable. Unfucking believable. Big up for naked motherfuckers. Big up. Big up for naked motherfuckers. Anyway, read the quote. Robin Williams quote.
You're only given one spark of madness. You mustn't lose it.
That's genius.
It is genius.
He lost his spark of madness. He lost it.
You know, and it's very applicable to this because some people, though, I think were given a few more than one extra. They had a couple extra sparks of fucking madness with Gacy and all the people that we've been talking about. But
yeah.
But that's a great, you know, that is a great, that is a great. You are given one little spark of madness, you know, and you shouldn't lose it. I mean, you got it. That one little spark of madness will keep you sane in this world.
Unless you fucking find yourself at Jeffrey Dahmer's house or John Wayne Gacy's basement. Anyway, that concludes our show. Hopefully you found something interesting about it. I thought, you know, we'd share something pretty interesting. Actually, you want to hear something really scary? And then we'll end with this. One in five people from ages 55 to 64 has no money saved for retirement, according to a new study by the Federal Reserve. About 45% of those questions said they intend to rely completely on Social Security to cover their expenses after retirement. Now that, my friends, is scary. Yo, have a nice week. Nestorius Public Radio signing out. Check us out on iTunes. Hit us up on Facebook. Big the fuck up!
Encouraged me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta...